Okay, so basically we're going to do this again now about a little further than Gorlam and Tesman Beis. Question is about which begadim are chayv and sitzes. Min HaTorah, Min Darabanan, Temar and Pishtin, and other begadim. Okay? So we're going to pick up kind of in the middle of the Gemara, but so we already did the Ibaya of about Min Kanaf, whether Pishtin works for Temar, it's about that whole stuff. So we're going to put Agav Orcha in that discussion. It brings up this question about other minim. So we're going to start from Tashma, the Amar. It's like the 15th line on Lamed Tes Amud Beis. But the Amar Chavar Miura, Chutei Tzemer Potrim Mishal Pishtan, Mishal Pitrim Potrim Mitzel Tzemer. So Pishtan works for Tzemer, Tzemer works for Pishtan. The Lavan, that is. Chutei Tzemer Upishtan Potrim Mechal Makom. And Tzemer and Pishtan are Pater everything. The Afilu B'Shirayim. Even Shirayim, which is like silk. Silk garments. Okay? So saying that Chutei Tzemer and Pishtan are even Poter on silk garments, even though they're not their men, but it's a universal poter, right? Tzemer and Pishtan are a universal poter. Okay? So you're saying that the poter on Sharminim implies that Sharminim are Chayiv, Shirayim is Chayiv in Tzitzis Min HaTorah, because that's what we're talking about, it's poter, right? I mean, on the surface, at least. Okay? So this is a plea of Nachman. And this statement of Rabbi Yura, Rabbi Yura argues on Rav Nachman. The Amar of Nachman has Shirayim, but Rav says this. Because he says Shirayim, so he's part of him. Okay? Fine? Okay. So that's why I say Machlokas. Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. Okay, Rav Yehuda says that Silk is Chayiv, and Rav Nachman says Pater. So we don't really know much about it yet, but that's so far so good. Okay? So it says, Eisvei, Rabbal Rav Nachman. You, Rav Nachman, are saying that Shirayim is Pater, but I have a Braisa. Hashirayim v'hakalach v'hasriken, which is silk and something made from like a fish or whatever. And srikim is something else, some other stuff made out of some sort of silk. Okay, different meaning. And kulon chayv mitzitzus. Period. The Braisa says they're all chayv mitzitzus, so that seems to be a refutation of Rav Nachman. So the Rav Nachman answer is midirabanan. Okay, you gotta get the gamma's good there. Okay, so he says, no, I'll tell you that's only midirabanan. So that's not a good question on me, because yeah, I don't disagree that I don't hold that they're not chayiv. I just hold they're only chayiv midirabanan. So that Braisa, I'll tell you, is talking about midirabanan. Okay, which is gonna have to be explained. Tell me they're potter, then why the Rabbanon? I mean, first thing, what's the machlokas? I mean, that's ultimately where we're headed. What's the machlokas? Whether these other men are chayiv, but also if they're potter, so they're potter. So what? The Rabbanon? The Rabbanon come along and change things? I mean, they're potter. They're potter. What do you need the Rabbanon for here? Okay, fine. But that's what he says. He says this Braisa I'll say is Midrabanan. So he says, Ihachli, if you want to claim that that Braisa is talking about Midrabanon, Ema Seifa, let us see the Seifa of that Braisa. V'kulon semer pishon potrim b'hem, and all these minim semer pishon paters them. So this is going to be an attempt to prove that it's not midrabanan, but it's midoraisa. That this brisa is talking about midoraisa, and if this brisa is talking about midoraisa, it's a nakter of Nachman. Okay. So this iam pishon midoraisa hand in the mystery of kolayim. Okay. So at first, okay, here's the deal. See, at first, the Gemara, at this point, the Gemara thinks that when it says Semer Pishtan Potron Bahem, it means Semer and Pishtan together, Pater. You could use Semer and Pishtan together on this baguette. So it says, if it's Chayv Deo Raisa, I understand how you can Mater Kelayim. Aye, it's Kelayim. Oh, but it's Chayv and Tzitzis, Min HaTorah. So therefore, Kelayim could be Nidchis by the Mitzvah of Tzitzis. Okay, which is a question, because yeah, it's Eshel Kayim Shneim, but this is what the Gemara thinks at this point. Eliyam et derabanan, but if you want to tell me that Shirayim is only chayiv and says min derabanan, right? It's only chayiv and says min derabanan. So then, how could you heichem b'shiru kolayim? How could you then say that you could put sitzes of tzemer and pishtan because there's no real kiyam in haTorah? It's just min derabanan. So, but it's kolayim in haTorah. So there's not going to be a dechiyah. So how's it possible? So that's a proof that this brisa must really be talking about. That is Chayv Min HaTorah, in which case it's a rejection of Nachman. Okay? Mm-hmm. So it says, no. Im Otsemer Pishtan. No, I didn't mean. You're reading the Braisa wrong. It doesn't mean Tsemer U Pishtan, that they're both Pateret together. It means either Tsemer or Pishtan. Okay? Which is the way you would have read it. But the Gemara says, get that out of the way. Okay? So it's Tsemer or Pishtan. Okay? Fine. Okay? So fine. Then it says Hachi Nami Mistabra. Now Rav Nachman's coming back. Okay, Rav Nachman's coming back. Should we read Rashi's? Let's catch up on Rashi's. Okay. Let's catch up on Rashi before we go further. So it says Tzemer Pishtim Pochamayim. Okay. Kasalka Daitach. See, that's how I knew that. Rashi says because the Shnechudim Tzemer Shnechudim Lavan Shel Pishtim. So I thought that it's all Pishtim. Two Tzemer, two Pishtim. I guess Tzemer is a Tcheles, and then the two Chudim and Lavan, it's Pishtim, fine. So, Hein Atzmon, Kalach Pesrikim, Meminam Potrim. Also, we didn't do this yet. Oh, no, we didn't do this yet. Fine, good. Okay, so far. So, it's talking about Mistabra, again, now this is Rav Nachman talking. Because originally tried to prove against him, Ihachi, right? Now it's saying, I'm going to prove to you that it's Deoraisa. I'm sorry, that it's Darabanan. That it's Darabanan. That these other minim, that when the brisa again, because these are Amoraim arguing, so therefore, whenever you have a source, a Tanaic source, they have to worry about explaining that, okay? And therefore, it could disprove or prove either one of them. So that's why it's asking, that's why it's so important how to learn this brisa, okay? Because it's a Tana. Brisa is a Tana. It's unqualified to none of Machlokas, it's just a Tana. So therefore, that's important, how you're going to, that's why you ever see Ace Bane, things like that, that's what's talking, that's what's done, okay? It's a Zagan Amistabra, so it wants to prove it. Okay, Rav Nachman's trying to prove his point. Okay, so what does it say? Okay, Zagan Amistabra. Diktani Seifa, Hein, the Seifa, whatever. Okay, because I already had a Seifa once, no? Diktani Seifa, Hein, Minam, Pochum, Shlob, Minam, Ein, Pochum. So, Hein, let's say silk. So, silk is poter, a silk baguette, but it's not poter, some other man. Right? Did I read that right? Rashi. Semer u pishtan pochim by him, because other than, no, I'm sorry, hein atzman, kalafasrikim e minam pochim, them also tzitzis betalis, shumino yatza. In other words, if you use these meshi or silk, in a silk bag of yatza, but if you use it in some other bag, it's not potter. So it says, so what's worried about it, how can you say that the silk is going to potter the silk? Okay? Iyam e pishtan midrabanan, if you told me a silk bag is only chayv midrabanan, hayne dirishurim, then I could understand that the rabbanan are setting up the whole thing altogether. So that silk is chayiv, so they could say silk will work. Okay, that I can understand. That silk could work for silk, because silk is not really chayiv intrinsically. So everyone is setting it up. So they could say silk will potter it. Eliyam et deraisa. But if you want to tell me that silk is chayiv minat Torah, semer pishin hu de potter. Right? Because then, it's chayiv minat Torah, then the only thing which should work is semer pishin. How could silk work? Again, the logic isn't exactly clear, but that's what he's arguing. He says, how could silk work? Rashi. Right? So because this mix is a parashios, you see that tzitzis is only tzemer pishtan. So therefore, if you tell me this chayvim tzitzis deoraisa, so how could it be that you can use silk for a silk garment? You should only be able to use tzemer pishtan. But if it were chayvim derabanan, then hey, mama, hey, mama, they're setting up that it's darb on the whole thing altogether, so then I can understand that they can bend things a little bit. Okay? It says, Imisham ha'aloyaya. Now, that's not a good proof. Okay, that if that's your proof, that's your raya, that's not a good argument. Okay? Because I could tell you that even though it's chayv min ha'Torah, you could still use semer, but you could still use meshi. How? Kedarava. The Rava, Rami, Rava has the contradiction. Right? Rami is contradiction. Ksiv. Ksiv hakanaf min kanaf. On the one hand, it says hakanaf is min kanaf, which means the lavan is min kanaf. Ksiv semer pishtan. That implies that the lavan is semer pishtan, right? Because the smith's parshas could deal. Okay, so how could it be? Which one is it? Is it min kanaf or semer pishtan? It says not. Semer pishtan potrim min and shlo min. Semer pishtan universal potrim. Shar minim bimina potrim, shlo minim potrim. Other minim work biminam because it's min kanaf. So therefore, even if you tell me meshi's chayv min haTorah, it not only could it potter with semer pishtan, which is the universal potter, but it could even work with its own min, because min kanaf. So therefore, you haven't proven anything to me from the fact that you could use mashi on mashi. Whether it's darbon or it's deraisa, that's not a raya. So it turns out that the braisa isn't a raya either way. Okay? The braisa doesn't approve, it's not a question, it's all fine. You're going to have to explain something with the flow of the Gemara here. I mean, the darbon and deraisa, I mean, how's that work? Even if it's darbon on, but still, you have to explain the logic of it. I mean, Calderon came to rice ticket. So why is it harder? Why is it easier? I mean, the Rabbanon can't say anything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, why? So obviously, the answer in the Rabbanon would be how does silk work for silk? Because men kanaf. So then, I was like, if it didn't know that, then how was the Rabbanon? Would they just say anything goes? So I mean, the flow we're gonna have to understand. So how, what exactly is according to Rabban there, right? And all that, you know, it doesn't sound like a very strong raya. Okay, but we'll get back to that. That's the details. Okay, this whole thing is details. We don't really know the machlokas yet. So now that we go further, the Gemara is gonna bring elucidate the machlokas. So now we're gonna get to the machlokas itself. So Rav Nachman. So where did Rav Nachman get his shita from? Okay, it's fine. So you see, there is a subtle implication which Tosfos picks up on, which is like this type of lashon, Rav Nachman, where Rav Nachman, like as if you need a source for Rav Nachman. But why do you need a source for Rav Nachman? The Gemara just showed that previous brisa wasn't a question on Rav Nachman; it was just as much consistent with Rav Nachman as with Rav Yehuda, because he didn't prove either way the Rabban and the brisa. But the subtlety of the lashon, Rav Nachman, Ketan Rav Shimon, implies that you need a. That the Gemara is like. You know, like the Idach, like as if the Gemara has Rav Nachman in a hole, and it needs to find another Brisa which is going to support Rav Nachman. That's the way it sounds from the semantics of the Lashon. Okay, and that's what Tosfos picks up on that. That's the Tosfos of Rav Nachman. Tema, Shabri, Shonami, Darabani, already answered. That Brisa is talking about Darabani, so why does he have to go fishing for another Tana to support Rav Nachman? Okay, I mean, we'll get to that later, but I'm just saying, there is a subtlety in the Lashon. This is Rav Nachman, but even forgetting about that. So is Rav Nachman just his own shita? Where did he get his shita from? That it's only Chayv in the Rabbanan, right? Why isn't Chayv Daraisa? I guess that he has to be explained. I mean, why should you say that there's a limit? Why should there be any difference? A beggar's a beggar. He says, no, Kintana Virishmael. The Tana Virishmael, Hol V'nem Begadim in Torah, Stam. It says the word Begadim in the Torah, Stam, many times. All over the place, says Stam, right? Begadim, 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 all over. Right? And in one place, okay, question where that is, we'll see. In one place, the Torah specified, it's Beged Semer, Beged Pishtan, Semer, Pishtan, Afkot Semer, Pishtan. So it's like a binyanav, that what does the word Beged mean? So normally it just says Beged, you don't know what it means. So you think it can mean anything. But then in one place, it specifies Beged Semer, Beged Pishtan. So that's a binyanav. It teaches you that whenever the Torah used the word beged, it's the equivalent, the same as what it referred to over there when it said beged tzemer pishtan. That's a midah. That's one of the yom midahs. So you have a right to do that. Okay? I mean, it's binyanav. Okay, Rashi. It says, Rav Nachman, da amar le'el, shiraim in the rabbanon, hu dechayavim, dimin the raisa lo pater b'humi, no. Right? Because he was holding them in a Torah wouldn't work by men. And why is Rashi bringing dimin the raisa lo pater b'humi? I mean, it's true. That was his argument there, but I mean, why don't you say his argument? We're trying to find the sources for a shita itself, the Rabbanan. So why do you have to bring that? Well, I don't know. Why does Rashi have to demon the Rishmael? Fine. That's a good question. I don't know. We'll get back to that maybe. Kintana the Rishmael. The Omer, Ein Chayim and Sitzes El Beget Serum Beget Pishtan. Okay? Because Begodim the Torah Stam, Akan Vibig Dayan, says it's Stam. Oh, here it says it's Stam. Upar Lecha Bekelayim. Does he take that out? Yeah, the Rishmael has to take that out. It says Gabe Negayim. The Beget Semer O Beget Pishtan. Right, so by Nagoyim it specifies. So therefore, it's a binyan that teaches you that it means always. Okay. So that's a good argument. I mean, that's a brisa. So the brisa openly supports Rav Nachman. It says that beged. What does the Torah mean when it says it's not pshat that it's like some sort of thing? It's only a beged of tzemer and beged of peshna is chayiv. No, all begadim are chayiv. But the only thing which is beged is tzemer or peshna. Okay, that's what this is clarifying. Okay, I mean, it's important. Okay, it's very important. I mean, So his svara makes it broader than you'd think, but it's not a question in mitzvah sitzes per se. It's a question in the shem bagan, okay? Which is strange. And he says, so what's the other sheet to hold? So it says, Amar Abaye ve'ahai tana debe rishmol, mafka meidot tana rishmol. This tana rishmol is different, is removed from the other tana rishmol, because there's another tana rishmol which is opposite. The tana debe rishmol, beged ein li'ela beged tzemer. Beged, I would say, it's only tzemer. Minayin l'rabo semer gemalim semer arnavim v'notza shel izim v'akalach v'asarikim v'ashirayim minayin. Okay. Tamalomar o beged o Rashi mafkam idach t'rishma. Okay. Deha idach mar bekal begadim. It's mar be o begadim. Semer arnavim v'notza shel semer shel izim kari notza l'fi she'en rach kishar semer. So it's a different kind of well. Minayin shemitamim b'negayim, because that Bryce is talking about b'negayim, apparently. Right? Because that's the case. That's what it says. It's beged tzemer, beged pishtan. It says, Talmud, O beged. Beged tzemer, O beged pishtan. So the O, it could have just said beged tzemer, U beged pishtan, I guess. So why is it saying O? O is a reboy to teach you that it's not only tzemer pishtan, but it's everything. Okay? So So it said the time of Rebbe Gvisha is lav dafka. Really everything. It's funny. It's like, did it last so long? What do you have to write it for? So just write Bega. Why does it say Bega? It's like opposites, you know. And there's one end says Bega Tzemesh, which means only these. But then it says, oh, it means everything else. So don't write Bega, just write Bega. Kiyo nega ba Bega. Right? I mean, it's a funny way to teach me all the Begadim. So if it would have said Begad, I would have said in general, it always means everything. But now you're limiting yourself and only to then exclude it, you know, to then extend it to everything. It's a funny way to, it's a funny type of a limon. But that's the limon, okay? So basically you have machlokas. So that, these two Yishmals are the basically the machlokas. I mean, our Nachman Rav Yehuda is just an extension of this, it seems. So it's a general, it seems to be a general question. You have by Nagan, right? And it's, question is, what does the word Begad mean? Generally, okay? Well, because there it says by Tzemer and Pishtun. So does it mean specifically Tzemer or Pishtun, nothing else? Or do you say it means, no, oh, includes everything? And then, once you have that machlokas by Negoyim, then the term Beged is used, and you have Binyanah. So whatever the case is by Negoyim, so it's going to be by everything, by Tzitzis. Well, can't fit Big Day, and what's a Beged? So you don't know, so you look by Negoyim. The word Beged is refers to Tzemer and Pishtun, or everything. Right? And that's the question. That's the machlokas. But it seems that Rav Nachman or whatever, the other Ishmael is going to say, still, even if you say it's only Tzemer and Pishtun, but the Rabbanon, they came along with Chayvi and Tzitzis anyways. If somebody, even though it's not a Bega. Even though it's not a Bega. It's funny. Yeah. Okay. So that's facts, basically. Right? It's like Gemara. Is there any Rashi? No, we did all the Rashis? Okay. We'll hold off. We'll do those. We'll do a bunch of toasts from here, but we'll hold off on that for now. For now, leave out the Rabbanan. So the first thing you have to analyze is Machlokas Deoraisa. I mean, the Rabbanan is a separate thing, you know? So just the question is, so I'm asking, which side is easier, Deoraisa? Which is easier to understand. On the surface, most of it's right. Surface, you say anything. Because clothing's clothing, whatever function. So the clothing's a functional item. Who cares what it's made out of? I don't care. The shirt's a shirt. Are you going to tell me that a silk shirt is anything else of a shirt than a wool shirt? I don't care what it's made out of. It's a shirt. A shirt's a shirt. Whatever you're wearing it, it's a shirt. It has buttons or whatever they used to have. It has four corners. So, I mean, who's to say that this isn't a shirt? Right? I mean, it's not a baguette. It sure looks like a baguette. Right? I mean, that's I think, a problem. The problem is, what does material have anything to do with that? Material is a separate thing. What we happen to decide to make the material, what material we make it out of. But baguette's a functional thing. Right? I mean, that's the difficulty. Where would you get... Right? I mean, it sounds like the second sheet is much, much simpler. Second time of Rishma. Okay? So let's forget the second shita for now. The question, let's just propose a question. What is the logic of the Tanna Rabbi Yishmael, the first one, to say only Tzemer Pishtun? You know, what kind of sense is that? Right? I mean, that's a problem. Forget the machlokas. Right? I mean, it's in general, it's a good way to think about it. You know? That makes sense. That's why we don't have anything to explain yet. Okay? First of all, it doesn't make any sense. The new point is that forget exactly what is unique about Tzemer Pishtun. I mean, we're not in textiles. I don't know. In Torah, it should like Tzemer and Pishtun, whatever. How are we going to... You can guess, but the question is, why should there be anything about material? Clothing is clothing. It's a functional thing. So, you want to say the Torah had to choose a material. So now they say, whatever, it chose Tzemer and Pishtun. But why should the Torah choose a material altogether? What does the material have anything to do with it? Right? I mean, who's to say one material is any better than another material? Okay, I don't care in specific why Tzemer and Pishtun, but why material? Very difficult about this is like what it's a question about Beged. I mean, it sounds like too universal a question. What is it like how you define clothing in halacha? Like it sounds like almost too broad of a question. Is it just like an argument about categories? Like how does the Torah call a Beged? I mean, it depends on your framework. Shouldn't that depend on the framework? Are you talking about a bit the mitzvah sittas? Are you talking about tumah? Are you talking about gan? Are you talking about, I mean, shouldn't that matter? Like how could it be just so broad a broad-based, it's just a question about what the word Beged means? Like, what kind of question is that? It sounds like, if you're Sittis, you have room to maneuver. But it seems the Gemara is taking it out of the realm of Sittis. It's a general question about what a Beged is. So Moshe says no. So maybe the thing is like this, is that apparently, I mean, I think there's a lot we could derive. What is it saying? What do you see? It seems like he's saying is that apparently a baguette isn't just something which you're wearing, okay? But it would seem something has to first be a baguette, and then you wear it. You know what I mean? In other words, what makes something into a baguette? The fact that I'm wearing it? Apparently says no. In other words, A beged has to be a certain chafza, a certain substance. What is it? What is beged? Any square? Any square piece of metal? I mean, first it's a beged, now then I wear it. But what's the underlying definition of a beged, which I then go about and wear? Because apparently saying it's not just anything which happens to be functioning. But there has to be an underlying chafza. What's the chafza? Then afterwards, yeah, I do a ma'aseh levushin to that chafza. But what's the chafza? So he's saying apparently the way in which the Torah is defining the chafza is revealed to us in by Nagayim, is certain substances. Certain substances of the Tzemer Pishtan, which let's venture to say, like we said this once before, those were substances which were like, they were factually, they were the most original begadim. Apparently those materials are like all made for begadim, right? We said like those reflect beged per se, you know what I mean? So those substances per se, like bring to mind beged. In other words, they are like omeid lebegadim. Those are those substances. So apparently, what he's saying is that first something has to be a beged. It's not a beged by virtue of the fact that you wear it. It's a beged, and then you wear it. So what defines it as a beged is the substance. It's a piece of material made out of a square or whatever, made out of a certain material. And Tzemer and Pishtan, the Torah is telling you which material? Tzemer and Pishtan. Okay, because those substances are a beged by definition. See, I think what's hard is like, see, one material, see, but we think of like a beged as like, well, it has sleeves and it has, you know, a collar. And I mean, but see, their begadim, if you think of their begadim, they're going to just be like a square. And it's four corners, right? So let's say, well, if you just have, let's say, a square piece of plastic, you say it's a beged? Why? Because a guy could wear it? I mean, and if I wear it, then it's going to make it into a beged? He says, no. A beged has to be is a certain material. So what makes a square, any square piece of anything, into beged? You have a square piece of metal, is that a beged? So it's not just the fact that I could put it on. Yeah, so I have a garbage bag I could put it on. That makes it into a beged? So he's saying, no. What defines the thing as a beged is that it's a material which is only the begadim. So you have a square, a piece of whatever, which is only the begadim, that defines it as beged. Okay? Short of that, it's very nice you are wearing it. You can wear a lot of things. But it's not a beged. A beged has to be a beged intrinsically, not just because you happen to put it on. Right? I mean, it's true. I mean, you wouldn't say anything you put on is a beged. I put a book on my head, it doesn't make it into a beged. I mean, a beged is an underlying thing. So you're saying what makes it halachically, the Torah reveals to you and by Nagayim, and that is the material. That's the way Torah sets up the chafetz. Okay? Now what does the other shita hold? What does the other shita hold? Does the other shita reject this idea totally? Or does he somehow accept the idea? Show him, prove to me one way or the other. It sounds, if he held that beged is really like what you're tempted to say, make it a wide machlokas. He holds, no, beged is purely a functional thing. That which is worn, whatever you're wearing, I don't really care what it's made of. I don't care about the substance. But if that were the case, then why did the pasuk should just say beged? Should never specify. Beged means we know what beged is. It's an intuitive idea, anything a person wears. But he also agrees that the Torah says beged semer or beged pishtan. And he would have been very happy if that's what it said. The only problem is the Torah wrote the word O. O is a reboy. Now a reboy can teach you a completely different concept. Beged semer pishtan means that it's in a substance. Now, what's the reboy? The reboy is just, no, you know what? Chuck the idea of the substance, now it's a whole new thing. It's not a stopper. A reboy is a reboy. It means it's being marbesh sharmina. So what's the logic to that? I mean, so what's he saying? What's the concept? Okay, but I think he said it makes sense to everyone agrees with this premise. I mean, the question is, do you have the reboy or not? So what's the sputter for the reboy? What's the logic? Okay, good. So Samosha has a good question. He says, what does he mean? Oh, what's his reboy? How extensive is it? Does he mean if I take cardboard and I put it on me? Or a garbage bag, a plastic or something, and I wrap it around me? Is that a beged? Anything? I mean, the reboy just has a list of all these things, right? Semer, gemalin, semer anavim, notzah shalizim, akalsik, vishayim. So it doesn't seem to be. It could have just said, minayin laros kol davar. That would have been an easy way to say. We have a whole list of things here, you know? So, I mean, it seems that he doesn't just say anything, because what does anything mean? How does anything work? Anything just means functional. Anything doesn't mean anything anymore. Machlokas, anything. So anything seems to be, no, it's certain other materials besides Rotsan and Pesha. But what is that then? What kind of idea is that? I mean, it's true though, it doesn't seem to be anything. So what are the parameters then? Right? But I would agree. It would seem, it does seem that he's not saying everything. Okay, right. Like, I don't think you'd have to put tzitzis on a box. If I wore a box, I wrapped it around me, so it's four corners, I don't think he'd say you have to put tzitzis. I don't think. Yeah, okay, so notice that's good. Perhaps it means like this, is that, see, what's special about Tzemer Pishtan? So there's nothing magical about Tzemer Pishtan. It's just that in the time of the Torah, I mean, it would seem, you know, this is the same. I'm told that was what were Omei L'Begadim. Like, let's say nowadays, cotton. You can tell me that there's anything in superior about Tzemer and Pishtan, which is not about cotton? I mean, cotton's Omei L'Begadim also nowadays. I mean, I don't know, it's, you know, polyester, or whatever. You get a lot of materials. I mean, you're going to tell me that there's something, some intrinsic quality of Tzemer and Pishtan as opposed to these other things? So it would seem no. So perhaps everyone would agree if they had cotton in the time of the Gemara as the real min bagad, then it would have been Tzemer Pishtan and cotton. I mean, it's not just there's nothing special per se about Tzemer Pishtan. It's just that those were the minei begadim which existed, okay, due to whatever reason, because it was practical, it was the best materials, and you know, maybe they didn't develop all these other, you know, but so therefore, but they're only Tzemer Pishtan. So he holds that semer b'vikasim or obek, o is marba, means that the Torah sets up semer and pishtan, but it leaves open to the fact that it's lav dafka semer pishtan. Semer pishtan is a conceptual idea that you need a substance which reflects back. And in the Gemara, in the Torah's time, it was semer pishtan only. Okay? But Sharminim, if in time of Chazal it's Kalach and Srikim and Nutzlis and all these other things, then that's also Begad. If the Torah said, oh, it's a Marbe, means that it's true, it is Tzemer Pishtan, because those are, that's the, it Tzemer Pishtan means it is a substance. You have to have a substance of Begad. But oh is leaving it open that it's not closed on Tzemer Pishtan Vidafka, but on the idea of what Tzemer Pishtan represent. And in different sizes and different times, it could be different. It varies. It varies per thing. That's what a garbage bag material or whatever, cardboard, certainly wouldn't be, unless there happened to be a society of, you know, today, right? But in general, it's taloi in the tzemer of pishtan of the modern day, or whatever, of the day, you know, of the time of the Gemara. So the Gemara is listing all these other things. Because those, we can say those begadim are also the same as tzemer pishtan bag in the time of the Gemara. Maybe a little better or whatever, but essentially they're only made for begadim. So that's what he's holding, is that O is telling you a more extended definition of Tzemer Pishtan. Not Tzemer Pishtan per se, you know, because of their chemical makeup, but because of the conceptual idea of Tzemer Pishtan. And what does the other one say? So I don't know, what does the other one say? I mean, I know what he does with O, but what's how would he argue against that? But it is the one weak point, I think, about that Svara, is that that's not ordinarily how Torah goes, you know? I mean, where do you see a halacha which is telling in the time, where the substance of the shem bagad or of a mitzvah is going to, so to speak, evolve? I mean, that it sets up a conceptual category which the substance is indefinite. Okay, that's not ordinary. So therefore, he's going to say that the first time the Mishnah holds it, you can't have such a thing. Is that it's true the Torah chose Tzemer and Pishtan because of this idea, because in that time that was the model begotten. But halacha is a fixed system. Halacha can't just keep changing. So therefore, he says it's Begad Tzemer, Begad Pishtan. It's only Tzemer and Pishtan. It can't change. And I mean, he agrees in concept, the other guy's right, is that it really should change, but he says that a halachic entity can't go like that. See, I think, so what does the other guy say? I mean, but I think you could see both sides. Because, see, on the one hand, by limiting it to Tzemer and Pishtan, you're not really being true to the idea of Begad. See, conceptually, if you really want to be consistent, be logical about it, it makes sense to extend it. Because, well, is there anything so special about Tzemer and Pishtan? I mean, there's not... There's nothing intrinsically, what are you going to say? They're both baggage. They're baggage in the exact same way. Because the Torah came along and arbitrarily fixed it at a certain point, that therefore it has to, therefore we're locked in. I mean, there's some things that bother some about that. It's not in line with the conceptual idea. But on the other hand, so that's on the one hand. On the one hand, the definition of beged should be a variable definition, because beged is a slidal thing, and it's totally in technology or whatever. On the other hand, it's halacha. And halacha is, in general, a fixed system. And in terms of a halachic structure, the simpler system is one that limits it to a certain substance. So something's going to have to give here. Either you're going to have to give on the underlying, the conceptual idea of a baguette, or if you don't want to give on that, you're going to have to give in the halachic, in the precision and the way the halachic system is going to work. So that's the question. That's the question about Chagas Tanayim. So you're two Tanayim Rishmal. That's even specific about. Which one is going to give? I mean, it's Talayim, and I guess the Shekel Adas. So how is God going to set it up? You can see it's a question. So you're going two ways on that. There's other guys I go to O, and it's a good question what you learn with O, but probably he'll say, I don't know, it's a good question what you do with O, but he says conceptually you can't have a halacha like that. So I don't know. It's a good question, though. I'm not sure. But halacha has to be halacha, it has to be some person, it can't have to be fixed. You know, so that's he'll have to say. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do with it, but I mean, sometimes, you know, like, it's, I guess, an extra word, as you have a svara versus the extra word, I say, I don't know, but he else is impossible, you can't have that. You know, that's a question. Could you have, if you could have it, you definitely want to have it, because it makes sense in terms of begotten. But the question is, will the halachic system allow for such a thing? I mean, normally you don't have that, because you don't have, normally the category you're dealing in doesn't lend itself to that. Like, there's no reason why lulav should become a different thing nowadays. You know, lulav. But the nature of beged is an entity which it does change. It's not a fixed entity. It's not a fixed conceptual idea. It's totally in many factors.